welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week we're going to hear from St. Vincent. I am super psyched to share this with you, but first, before we get started, I want to remind you that South by Southwest is next week. It actually starts this Friday. What? And if you're coming to Austin, Texas for this huge conference slash festival, I want to let you know that we will be doing a live taping of this podcast next week, Thursday, the 15th of March at 2 p.m. in the Wisteria Room at the Fairmont Hotel. I'll be talking to Dessa. She's this incredible hip-hop artist out of Minneapolis, and we're going to talk about music and inspiration and her new record, Chime. You should come. See how the podcast sausage gets made, which is a totally conscious Hamilton reference, because, like, Dessa, she's on the Hamilton mixtape. Yeah, you should come hang out with us. Okay, now to St. Vincent. I'm assuming you know who she is, but in case you don't, I will give you some pertinent information. Her given name is Annie Clark. She got started in music by helping the jazz duo Tuck and Patty on their tours, and they are actually her aunt and uncle. And she just finished a tour where they opened for her, and I saw one of those shows, and they were amazing. She's an excellent guitar player, and early on in her career, she played with the Polyphonic Spree, and then Sufjan Stevens, and then in 2007, she started releasing music under the name St. Vincent. She's established herself as someone who makes music that is experimental and accessible at the same time, which is never an easy feat, but she does it, like, again and again, and yes, yeah, I'm a big fan. Everyone here at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, well, we're all fans. We've been loving her latest record, Mass Seduction. It came out last October, and it's the most, like, musically and emotionally direct record that she's made so far. I got to talk to her because she was in town to play a show promoting the new record, where she essentially performed solo, like, her and her guitar playing to tracks, and it pretty much blew me away. While she was here in Austin, she came to KUTX for a little bit to talk to me about music. And yes, I was stoked. And I think the interview went well, even though I was maybe trying to play it too cool, because that's what I do when I talk to people I really respect. Anyway, she was lovely and told me about songs that she grew up listening to, that many of us grew up listening to, and that showed her what music was really about.
It's interesting because I had sort of a realm of other music in mind when charged with the task of, like, saying a song that changed my life. But if I really think about it, I think that the music you hear when you're so young is the stuff that really gets in your DNA the most. So I would say, like When You Wish Upon a Star or something, like that the Disney songbook stuff from those very early Disney films, that is imprinted in me in such an intense way.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
From the 30s to the 50s, like that stuff where like a big orchestra in a room, like completely like even when the singers would be like like with that really insane vibrato, but that stuff. I still hear it, and there's nothing about it that's ironic to me, or like, oh, isn't this silly, or it's just like, oh, this set the template of what I think of as beautiful. The melodies in it are really, like, long and lilting, you know, it's like a long sort of phrase, and it goes up and then down and then over a mountain and, you know, circles around again. It just, like, has this unfolding kind of beauty to it, to the shape of it.
Yet I know it's true that visions are seldom all they seem. But if I
the dynamics of an orchestra in a room or like a choir singing.
This is the night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it Belmont.
All that stuff, it's your first introduction to like magic, but like, oh, the world is magic. And, you know, I think like every kid wishes they could be in a cartoon. Like you wish so deeply that your reality could just sort of like transmutate into that world. And the music is like the closest you get to come to it.
You'll find enchantment here. The night will leave its magic spell when the one.
Yes, like I never thought about it. That's a lot of just children's introduction into what music really is, which is like music transmits a feeling.
Mm-hmm. And it's that stuff is really, it's intricate and it's complicated and, you know, like deeply arranged and all that, but it never sacrifices that for the beauty. It's just all about this kind of flowery beauty. I'm kind of with Oscar Wilde with like beauty is its own form of genius.
Do you think that when you started to make music, because you started kind of young, like you got a guitar pretty
12, yeah,
pretty young, was that something that you were ever cognizant of trying to like recreate,
like the magic thing?
Yeah,
sure. I remember when I first started playing guitar, whenever I would open my mouth to sing, I would just start crying. Because it was some portal to emotion that I didn't have access to in that way in regular life. So it took me a long time to like sing without crying. Isn't that strange? I thought about that recently.
Not at all, actually. I think it's, you know, especially when you're that young, you're going from being an emotional being that just feels to a being who, you know, has like a fully formed cerebral cortex.
Right.
Can actually like...
has a lexicon for the emotion.
Yeah. But I do... but that's the best thing about music ever.
It's so wonderful.
When you were a kid watching Disney movies or listening to them, did you have a sense that young? Did the music lift you up in a way that you found maybe was singular?
Yeah.
Or do you... I mean...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. And then I started playing guitar when I was 12, and I was like, okay, I have all the information I need. This is what I'm going to do for my life, which is a strange thing to think. And it's there is an amount of immense delusion that it takes to really do anything in life. And luckily enough, that delusion was, I not only had it, but it was encouraged. And now, you know, my music has given me my whole life. Like everybody I've ever met, every place I've ever been, it's because I loved a thing. And that's crazy. It's wonderful. I'm so lucky.
That is a lucky thing.
A dream is a wish your heart makes. When you're fast asleep, in dreams you will lose your heartaches. Whatever you wish for, you keep.
Those Disney songs. It's like, I always think about people who write songs like that, like songs that reach millions and billions of people and that people can, like so many people can love and connect with. It's like, how?
I mean, and it's the answer to that, I feel, well, I can't speak to that because I'm not the person who's done that, but I imagine. I know from experience that it's like, immense tedium and then like moments of ecstatic mania, and then as a creator of things, I just try to have no opinion. Like my point of view on a thing, on the objective goodness or relevance of a thing is irrelevant and very capricious. So I just try to be like sort of non-judgmental in the writing and the making of a thing and just kind of go, okay, let's just believe in this. Like, that's just, let's believe in it until we don't anymore. Or let's believe in it until we fully do.
St. Vincent has been open in the past about her love of Disney, and you can hear that influence throughout her work. Like in this song, The Strangers, from her second record, Actor. Love. Like the Disney song she loves, St. Vincent's been able to write music that connects with lots of people in a deep way, and I wondered how it feels to write music that means so much to so many people.
Like, there's a certain amount of playing music or having music come through you that feels very much like you don't own it, it's not about you, and at its best, this feels like this very, like, egoless experience. And I think that that's what people connect to the most. You know, sometimes when people will come up and describe an experience that they've had with my music, I feel at once very grateful and also very much not responsible for it, because I know what it is to be such a deep fan of things, and so I understand, like, the impulse you want to tell that, like, vessel that you like, but it's like, I feel like I don't own it. It's not about me in any way, shape, or form. Even though I'm, so it feels strange to, like, accept the compliment in, like, deep in my stomach. I can just sort of go, like, isn't it wonderful? I'm so glad that you had that experience, and I am.
And with a new record. You said one of the things that you really loved about these Disney songs is that they were totally lacking in irony. And it seems like dispensing with irony was very important to the creation of these songs and to the production.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that became like a focus of making this record?
That was just sort of a tenet from the beginning. Like, I felt like I'd done a number of things and over the course of, I guess, 4 solo records and 1 collaboration record with David Byrne, and so I just felt like, okay, what's the thing that I haven't done? And I was like, well, I don't feel like I've really, like, gone straight for the heart and the jugular. Like, I've made a lot of things, but I didn't feel like I'd necessarily tapped into that kind of the feeling you get when you, like, when there's a song and the verses are for you and the chorus is for everybody kind of feeling. So I wanted to do that.
New York isn't New York without you, love. So far in a few blocks to be so low. And if I call you from First Avenue, motherfucker in the city who can handle me.
That's a very vulnerable process. I mean, that's true.
I mean, it is and it isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it, like, it's kind of not. Because if you tell everybody everything, you have nothing to hide. Nobody can hurt you. Yeah, I know. I told you.
Only motherfucker in the city who can stand me. I have lost a hero, I have lost a friend, but for you, darling, I'd do it.
told you I'm heartbroken. I told you I'm an idiot. I told you, you know, this, that, and the other. So?
Yeah.
So are you.
Yeah.
We all are. Who cares?
And we're all just, like, waiting for someone to show us that so that we can feel okay. I mean,
that's what
I know I am.
Does for me? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. It's that it's at its best, it makes us feel not alone.
Yeah.
In a world of chaos. Come on, sir, just give me an answer. Come on, sir, now I need an answer. I won't be gone with the goddess. Come on, sir, just give me the answer. I fear the future.
And this is Fear the Future, from St. Vincent's new record, Mass Seduction, a song that makes me feel like I am not alone in this world of chaos. I mean, who among us doesn't fear the future these days? And, like, putting this episode together, it was a treat, because I got to listen to those Disney songs, those early Disney songs, and St. Vincent's music. And, like, all of that, all those songs, they take me to a place. It's real life magic. Even though she's finished her solo shows promoting the record, you don't have to fear the future without St. Vincent, because she is, as we speak, getting her band together. And starting in April, she'll be going back out on the road. I'll post a link to those tour dates on the show notes page for this episode on KUTX.org, because yes, you do want to go see her. And as if doing a worldwide tour wasn't enough, she's also working on directing an all-female version of A Picture of Dorian Gray. She recorded a kids record with her aunt and uncle, Tuck and Patty. And, like, as someone with kids, I am looking forward to that coming out. She's busy, y'all. Busy making cool things that we can all enjoy. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by me, Elizabeth McQueen, with help from Peter Babb and Jackie Fuller. Kelly Sale is our excellent intern. Aaron Waltz is our social media intern. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout, maybe Mahout, by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.